Testing. Check. Okay, last time we were together was in the Gospel of John. And if you remember, we saw that the way up was the way down. We saw that Jesus was calling us to a life where we were to die to self, that we might experience the life of God. And that life is real life. We saw that Jesus had to die in order for us to have life. The grain of wheat had to go to the ground and die. And if the grain of wheat went to the ground, then it bore much fruit, just like any seed would. So as Jesus is making this declaration, and this is really the last public sermon of Jesus in the Gospel of John, the rest of it is more of accounts that he's giving to his disciples after this. But here, as Jesus begins to look towards the cross, we saw in John 12:32, he said, "And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Now the people were puzzled. Now we were going over a little bit of ground from last time, but the people answered him, "We have heard from the law that Christ remains forever, and how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So we see that the Lord Jesus is signifying, speaking about his death. And they understood what it meant to be lifted up because they said, "How can he be lifted up? How could he be crucified?" That was a term that they used for crucifixion. And he said, "How could that happen if he's going to be the Son of Man remains, the Christ remains forever? This doesn't make sense to us. Who is this Son of Man?" And Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." So when we look at the rest of this discourse from Jesus, what he is saying is that he is encouraging them, now is the time to respond to God. Right now is always the time to respond to God. There is often in the heart of men the word later, down the road, not right now. I have other priorities. I have other things. There are other things calling my name, and this is not on the top of my bucket list. For a lot of people, that's the case. And often I have heard many say these words to me, sometimes to the very peril of their own souls. But Jesus is giving a message of urgency as he gives this last real, straightforward public discourse to people, saying, now is the time. Indeed, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says this, verse 1, "Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to walk with God. Today is the day to be surrendered. Today is the day to say, Lord, have my heart, have my life, have everything that I am." Over the last year, and thinking about, you know, with my wife getting cancer, the possibility of her dying, and you know, when you get to be all the ripe old age of 58 years old, you begin to think, I'm not around here forever. My father died at 61. If I live to be old as him, I haven't got much time left. I don't know. At the most, I've got another 40 years, maybe. At the very most. And some of those would probably be pretty feeble. So, you know, you begin to feel your age, and you begin to realize, hey, life is short. And it is short at the longest period of time. It is short. And all of our lives here are short. We are here, like the Bible says, today we're here, tomorrow we're gone. We're like the grass that is grows up and then fades away. Generations come and go. And I think of even my own, I was thinking about people who are in my class in school. And there's quite a number of them now that are gone into eternity. You know, it's happening, and it'll happen more and more as I get a little bit older. When you're young, you think you have forever, but it's a delusion. It's not true. How quickly and fleeting life is, and how important it is to respond while we have the opportunity, and then so live life to its fullest. God is not a killjoy. He wants us to enjoy life at its fullest. So Jesus said this to them, "There's a little while longer the light is with you." He's speaking about himself. He is the light of the world. He's saying, listen, I'm only here for a short time. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light. John 12:36, that you may become the sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Here he was giving them an urgent statement. He was saying, listen, now's the time. I'm in front of you. You need to believe in me now. It says, while you have the light, believe in the light. Now that is just as true today as it was when Jesus was walking, because he is still the light of the world, and there is still the truth of the word of God shining into the world. And yet people flee to darkness. In the Gospel of John chapter 3, it tells us that people preferred the darkness over the light because their deeds were evil. They didn't want their deeds exposed. They didn't want the light of the Son of God to shine on their lives and show it up for what it was, so that they could embrace the light in its fullness and experience the light and the love and the power of Almighty God. While you have the light, believe in the light. The light is not always going to be shining. Power went out this afternoon, right? If it was in the middle of the night, the power goes out. You don't have any light. You got to find some other source of light. But I want you to know this. There is no other source of light than Jesus Christ. You'll not find light anywhere else. You'll not find it in the bottom of a bottle or in the tokes and the drugs and the booze and the parties and all that the world has to offer. You'll not find the light there. You'll not find the light in the greatest sunsets. You'll see glimpses of it, but you'll not find the light apart from Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. But look what it says, while you have the light. While you're being exposed to the light, what does it say to do? John 12:36. Believe in the light. Believe in the light. Oh, this is the call of God always. Believe, trust in the light, so that what? You may become what? The sons of light. Oh, not the sons and daughters of darkness, but the sons and daughters of the light. Those who are filled with the Spirit of God. Those who are shining with the presence of Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit. Oh, this was an urgent message that Jesus was giving. And remember, it comes out of him speaking about being lifted up on the cross. Not very far from any message that we find in the Bible about the way to the light, the power of us being transformed into the sons of light, you will find a message about the cross. You will find it's about Jesus being lifted up on the cross for our sins. Now, this is hammered home when we look at this passage here. It says, but although he had done so many signs before them, what? They did not believe in him. Now, I'm going to show you something here as we look at this passage of Scripture. And this is a solemn passage of Scripture, because the first thing we can say is that they did not, or they would not, believe in him. They would not believe in him. Now, there's a quote from Isaiah, and sometimes these can be hard to understand. It says in John 12:38, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they what? Could not believe. So the first statement was they would not believe, and now they could not believe. Listen, if we will not believe, then there'll come a time when we cannot believe. That's how serious that is. I may still have breath on this planet, and but I may come to a point in my experience, and we find that actually talked about in the book of Hebrews, where it says, it speaks about a person who has been exposed to the truth, and they turn their backs on it, and they say, I will not believe, I will not come to the light, I will not trust in the Son of God. And as they move away from that, you can get to a point where you cannot believe. It can happen. Solemn words. And this is what it says, therefore, they could not believe. They could not believe because they would not believe. Starts with my reaction against God, willfully turning my back on the light that is given to me. I'm not going to get any more light anywhere else. If the light of the Son of God is shining and I walk away from that light, I'm not going to find it anywhere else. And there may come a time when I will not see that light any longer, where it'll no longer mean anything to me. And even though I've been exposed to it, but I have not responded to it, what a solemn place to be. Because look what it says. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so I should heal them. They would not believe, they could not believe, and they should not believe. Three things. Progressive. First, turn your back on the light. And you can get to a place where you will not believe. You cannot believe because you don't see the light any longer. And justly so, you should not believe because you have rejected the light of this world. That's what it says. And it speaks here about the Lord being involved in this. That if I turn my back on the light and I think that I am going to go on without the light of the Son of God, there'll come a time when I will no longer see the light of God and I cannot believe. I cannot believe and I should not believe. Why? Because I have rejected the light of this world. You know, I think there's a lot of people have this in their minds. Well, you know, I know God wants me to be saved. I know he wants me to live for him. I know that he's supposed to be the Lord of my life. But I don't want it right now, but it's always going to be available for me. I can pick it up whenever I want.
Do you think people think like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. People think like that all the time. Lots of people. Lots of young people think that. When I get older, I'll follow God. Right now, I don't have time for that. That is saying, I reject the light that's given to me now, but I'll take it up later when I have time for it, or when things are, you know, when I need it. Yes, lots of people think that. I've had conversations with people who said, you know, not right now. I'm having too good a time. You know, I know that's true. I know I should turn to the Lord, but not right now.
I find most people think they already have.
No, there's a lot of people that know that they need to change. And know that they need God, but later on, I got lots of time. That's not to say that people can't be saved later on. Don't misunderstand this. But it is a warning, and especially to those who were looking and listening to the very Son of God and rejecting him. They couldn't get more light. He was right in front of them, and they were refusing. But it is a strong warning that people, at any time, in any circumstance, we need to respond to the Lord now. Not later on, but right now is always the time to respond to God, that we would not find ourselves in a place, that it would not come to the place where our hearts would be hardened, and we should not believe because we would not believe, and we cannot believe. What a solemn place to be. That doesn't mean that people can't be restored and people can't be saved and brought back from such places, but it does mean what a solemn place to be in. The Jews had been given the greatest opportunity. They had been prophesied that the Messiah, the Savior, would come, and when he finally came, here they were praying, Lord, send us the Messiah, send us the Messiah. And here's Jesus right in front of them. Don't want you. Lord, send us the Messiah, send us the Messiah. Don't want you. And here, Jesus, God was saying, there isn't any other one. Nobody else is going to come.
There.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it's exactly like that, in that sense. All the God's passion and fire that he has offered away, and yet people say, no, I don't want that way. I'll take another way. No, no, that's not good enough. This is what I want. And it comes to the place where they find themselves in darkness as a result of it. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Well, remember what it says earlier, they would not believe, right? And as a result of that, if I don't respond to the light that's given to me, I'm not going to have any light. God will take away what they think they have. Remember what it says? The Bible says even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. There is a place where they have willfully turned away from God, and God has blinded their minds as a result of it. That they should, even at the very end, you'll find when the judgment comes, you'd think that people would be crying out to God, but there will be people who, the Bible says, God gave them over to believe a lie. Why did he do? He gave them over to believe a lie because that's what they wanted. They wanted to believe a lie from the very beginning. So they would not, they could not, and they should not. Who wants to be in that camp? Certainly, no one should want to be in that camp at all. We know that these were given great light, and they turned from it. And anytime someone is exposed to the light of the gospel, it puts a responsibility on their souls. It's a serious thing to come under the preaching of the gospel because it demands a response. Jesus said, either you're with me or you're against me. It demands a response. Most times people like say, well, I'll just stay on the neutral territory. I'm going to float between two worlds. God says, no way, you can't do that. You will go one way or the other. You will tip down this way or you will tip this way. It's one or the other. And that's why I am so passionate about urging people, now is always the time to surrender your life to Jesus Christ and give him your all. That's right. There were people that claimed to be disciples. That's right. Nevertheless, John 12:42, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Many of the rulers were caught. They were caught in a place where, look, he raised Lazarus from the dead, right? The evidence was in front of them, and they believed him, but they were afraid of man, afraid of what man might say. And often that is a big factor in people trusting Christ. It's, well, what are people going to think if I follow the Lord wholeheartedly? How's it going to affect my friendships and my dealings, my workplace, whatever it might be? For what? They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. There are always going to be external pressures upon people, and there always is a cost to follow Jesus Christ. But Jesus cries out and says this, he who believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Now he's making it plain to them. Listen, you want to know who the Christ is? It's me. You want to know who I am? Exactly the same as the Father. Now the Jews, of course, these were all religious folks. These weren't guys who were atheists. They were guys who were saying, we believe in the one God. We believe in the true God. We believe in Jehovah, Yahweh. This is what we believe in. And Jesus cries out and says, listen, if you believe in me, you believe in him. If you're trusting in me, you're trusting in him. If you see me, you see him. What a statement that is, isn't it? Wow, what a statement. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Oh, he's passionate, isn't he? Oh, he wants them to know. Listen, he wants us to know. Listen, he is the light of the world. He is the one to come to. If we abide in him, we're not in darkness. We're either in the dark or we're in the light. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I don't judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus didn't come to pour out his judgment at that time. He didn't come to cause great judgment to fall on people. Instead, he came with a message of salvation. Now, does that mean that he will never judge? Oh, no. Listen what it says. He who rejects me does not receive my words, this is what will judge him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Now, what does that tell me? That says, as we open up the Word of God, if I reject the truth, no matter what age I live in, no matter what generational I'm in, no matter whether I'm old or whether I'm young, when I open up the Word of God and the words of Jesus Christ are spoken, those words I will have to give an account to at the end of my life. They will be the deciding factor as to my eternity will be the words of Jesus Christ. How often have people said, oh no, you can't judge. No, you can't judge about anything. It says, no, I can't judge, but God's word can. And God's word will. If God says sin is sin, guess what it is? It's sin. No matter if all the world gets together and has a conference and makes a decision and says, we have decided that this is no longer sin. Oh, aren't we wise? Let's pat each other on the back. Let's write it down on a page somewhere. And let's all declare it on TV or wherever we want to. This is no longer sin. But what will stand against that? The words of Jesus Christ. Sin will be called for what it is. Righteousness will be called for what it is. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Why? Because I have not spoken on my own authority. I didn't make this up. the Father who sent me gave a command what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. He makes it clear here. He makes it so very clear. He wants you and I to know without a doubt there is a compass, there is a light, there is truth, and it is absolute, and it is black and white. I either come to the light and I accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know, the beauty of that is this. The wise men, I'm sure I've mentioned this before at Christmas time, the wise men just had a little bit of light. They had enough light to know that when that star appeared in the sky, that the Son of God was born. The Pharisees were in Jerusalem at the time, at the birth of Jesus. They were only a couple of miles away. But when the wise men finally showed up with the little bit of light they had, and they said, where is he who is born King of the Jews? We've come to worship him. Because the star had disappeared. And they inquired in Jerusalem as this camel train rolled into Jerusalem and the whole city was astir as a result of it. And as they inquired, Herod found out about it and he got upset because he didn't want any other king born. And so he inquired of the spiritual rulers that were in Jerusalem and asked them at what time the Christ would be born and where. And they told him it would be Bethlehem where the Christ would be born. Now here's the wise men responding to a little bit of light coming all the way there, and they were saying that the king had been born, and that so they went off towards Bethlehem. But the funny thing is, or not so funny, is that not one of the Pharisees, not one of the religious rulers went the few miles that it was from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to seek him. They didn't respond to the light they had. They had great light. They had the scriptures in front of them. They had the very testimony of the wise men who had came all this distance. And with all of that light, they did not go. They did not seek the Lord. We need to respond to the light that God gives us, because here's what happens. If I respond to the light that God gives me, I am going to find what?
Light.
More light. Things are going to become clearer. Things are going to become more concrete. And the more that I walk in the light, the more I see the things of God. The more glorious it is. But the less I walk in the light, the more I find myself where? In the dark. In the dark. And this is the challenge that Jesus gives to those disciples. And really, it's a challenge to every one of us. Seek the Lord. Seek the things of God. Put God first in your life. Respond to Jesus Christ as much as you can every single day of your experience. Don't turn towards the darkness, but totally, wonderfully embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and say afresh every day, or even right now, Lord Jesus, I come. I surrender. I give myself away to you. Work it out in my experience, Lord. Now, I have discovered I need to do that almost every day, sometimes 10 times a day. But oh, it's so worth it. It's so worth it to respond to the light and not to the darkness. We see that there's a progression in this passage, that those who would not eventually could not, and as a result of that, just judgment on them, they should not. Why? Because they have no desire. They have no life. And they have no desire to serve the Lord. May God give us grace not to start down that slippery slope, but to come immediately say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I surrender to you. I believe in the light, because God wants each one of us in this room to be the sons of light, the daughters of light, to be living in the power and the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for his glory. That's what we find here in John chapter 12 as this sort of parting message to the crowds that had gathered around. They had followed Jesus over hill and dale and heard him speak on mountaintops, and the Pharisaic leaders had heard plenty of the message that they had heard, that great signs and wonders had been given. There was no doubt as to who he was, and even many of the leaders knew in their hearts, he really is who he says he is. But the cost is too high. We'll lose our place. We might be kicked out of our religion if we follow this. Can't go that far. We do find later on that there were some of those who did come. And some of those who stood for the Lord, like Nicodemus did. And then Joseph of Arimathea, who gave the grave for Jesus to be buried in. But for ourselves, I know his command, John 12:50, is everlasting life. I know Jesus said the commands of the Father are everlasting life. What does that mean? It means that the passion of God is that you have everlasting life. Everlasting union with God. Everlasting quality of life, because that everlasting life is God in you. You with God and God with you. God is not a killjoy. And the message of the gospel is a message of hope. And yet, if we turn away from that message of hope, there's no other hope anywhere else. There just isn't any hope anywhere else. No matter how much the devil tries to disguise and to say, yes, there is, there isn't. Everything else is fleeting, soon gone, and eternity waits. How important it is to respond to the light of the world while we have the light. Become the sons of light.